Hey, greetings everybody. It's Brother Tupos.
And Sister Amen.
We are thankful that we get to come back to once again. What's that?
I was just thinking that word, thankful.
We think a lot alike. We spend a lot of time together. We must think alike. We're very thankful to be able to come back to you again. We're still here striving in the Lord. And if you're listening, unless you're a seeker who needs to repent and follow and obey Jesus and be born from above, you're probably striving in Christ too.
Yeah, I know. The saints I know are.
Amen.
And we do God know. For that. I rejoice every day when I hear from my sisters.
Yep, we do know a precious handful of saints that are actually striving, come out of the world, come out of the church systems, come out of their flesh, and are obeying God as fruit that they know Him. So that's awesome.
That's a big one.
That is a big one. It's
coming
huge.
Coming out of your flesh.
Yeah. It's one of the things we all have to do. That was part of our brother's talk today. But we had a really good day today. We had several brothers' calls, and I guess we're going to talk about some of that. And I just wanted to share that this morning, I went into a marketplace, and I was sitting there working on my phone, actually communicating with another saint, and I noticed something. You know what I noticed, Sister Emma?
Well, probably a lot of things, but I'll let you say
it. Ask me, say, what did you notice, Brother Tupos?
What did you notice, Brother Tupos?
What I noticed was I was sitting there. I saw people outside filling their cars up with gas. I saw people come in and filling their bodies up with junk food. Because it was like a little McDonald's with a gas station and a little sitting area sitting. I seen people filling themselves up on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I seen people filling themselves up on another, or that was news. I seen people filling themselves up with worldly music in their ears. I seen another TV that I was trying to ignore. They were filling themselves up on sports. And another group of people were sitting there, and they were talking, filling themselves up with politics. And it just kind of struck me. I'm like, you know, got me to thinking, I'm no better than those people. I remember that life I used to live, and it's like, what you fill up on really does matter.
Becomes who you are.
Yeah. So if you fill your car gas tank up with water, you're not going far. If you eat poison food, you're going to get sick. And we all know the ramifications of listening to the media, news, and sports and stuff. So I was just thinking about that. It's just something to ponder. What are we saints as we're walking through this world? What are we filling ourselves up on? We should be filling ourselves up on the Spirit, the Word, fellowship, doing the work of the ministry, and be very cautious on what you fill yourself up in out in the world.
Right, yeah, because if you're out there just wandering around looking at it, filling yourself up on that, there's something sorely lacking.
Yeah, we're a vessel.
Don't be that way, sisters.
Yeah, we're a vessel, and we want to be filled up with the good, pure, and true things of the Lord. And I wanted to read Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, all wisdom, and spiritual understanding.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so think about that, saints. What are you filling yourself up with? We hope it's all the things of the Lord. We hope our website and our ministry helps you do that. Any thoughts on that, Sister Amen?
Yeah. On that scripture verse, it said spiritual knowledge. Is that right?
Yeah, it says that you might be filled with knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Spiritual understanding. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. What a precious gift that is.
Yeah.
To be able to understand the spiritual, you know, the spiritual understanding means we have eyes to see, ears to hear.
Yeah, you're not walking in the dark anymore.
Yeah, we're not blinded. So praise God, sisters, if you have that. And if you don't, you need to seek it, and we're here to help you.
Never take it for granted. And seek it more and more and more, because you need God's light, His Spirit, His Word to be enlightened. Otherwise, you're going to be deceived and walk in the darkness of the world. And the tribulation's coming. You don't want to be walking in darkness. You want to be walking in the light.
Right. And I'm always telling women on the streets, you know, a lot of them that go to church, I tell them that they need to discern, because I always go back to Eve, how she was deceived. And a lot of people seem to think she was a victim.
Yep.
They don't realize she was in sin for being deceived. And she should, like these women today, I tell them, you know, if you're not seeking the truth, you're in sin.
Amen.
You know, you can't be blaming your pastor or anything else. You have to be seeking. So let's seek after that spiritual
understanding.
Sorry, I was thinking knowledge.
No, it says that knowledge, be filled with the knowledge of His will in wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Yeah, there's a lot in there.
Yeah, there is. That's awesome.
I love that. Yeah.
Sister Amen, what's on your heart, mind, and on your notepad today to bring to the edify people? Well, I know you have some things.
I do. I have like just a few handfuls of things. It was a pretty busy day, but I just kind of put some notes in here to think about.
Do you have a cadre of things?
What's the definition of that?
I'm not sure, but I think it fits.
Do you know how to spell it?
I don't. I'm not good at spelling. A cadre, I think it means a multitude of things.
Yeah, I do.
So you have a cadre of things to bring to us.
I do. So they're just kind of bullet points, and we'll go from there, I guess.
Sounds good.
Psalm 32:9. I heard this shared today. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouths must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Actually, that was written in an email from a saint. And yeah. I was just thinking about that. It's a warning, you know, it says, whose mouths must be held with a bit and bridle.
Yep.
A bit and bridle.
Yep.
I know what that is because I used to race horses.
Yep, yep. We know horses are controlled by the metal bit on their tongue.
Yeah, and we're not supposed to be like that, which is held by that. We should be led by the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And
yeah, we're not beasts. We're not beasts that need to be controlled by our their physical parts. We're supposed to be controlled by the Word of God, the Spirit of God walking in His will.
Right, yeah. I love that.
Yeah, that is a good verse. I like that
yeah.
a lot. Yeah, let us be better than the animals. Why? We're made in God's image. We're not animals.
Right.
A lot of people have that wrong. They think we're just animals. No, we're made in God's image. We are not animals.
Oh, the New Agers have, yeah, yep. brought, what have they done? They brought the animal up to the level
yep,
of
they've
humans.
They've elevated, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so another one was, I thought was kind of interesting, is a brother said, maybe I'm going to say this wrong, maybe you can remember what he said. How he said it, Satan doesn't have the sin of laziness.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
He said we should not, we were talking about making sure that no one is in the body and no one, that a saint should be slothful, a sluggard, lazy, not redeeming the time. And the brother brought up a great point. He said Satan is not lazy. Satan's a worker.
Oh, he's a worker.
He's out roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. He's not slothful.
Uh-uh.
And so we should definitely be outworking Satan. In our effort, in our zeal for the
yeah,
Lord. Because we're
yeah.
made for good works. Titus 2:14, we should be zealous for good works.
Right. And by the power of God, we can be.
Yeah.
I mean, because we know who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, don't we, sisters?
Amen. And you know what that reminds me of? I always tell people, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witness especially outwork all of the so-called Christians and evangelicals in their ministry attempts. They are out there always. They're the only ones. Are they not the only ones we see out in the street? Other than a few street preachers spattered around, we always see the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, every so often, we could probably count, if we thought about it for a few minutes, how many people we've met that actually came up to give us a gospel tract, which was unbiblical.
Yep.
And it's usually because we were already out there doing it
yep.
that they came up to us. But in an average day,
yeah.
you know, of just us going, and if they don't know who we are or whatever, we don't get anybody walking up to us or seeing people preach or seeing people try to
yep.
evangelize
yeah.
even in their unbiblical ways. Yeah.
Yeah, but we
other
see
than
these,
those.
We
yeah.
see these cults out there with their little booths and their material, and they're very professional about it. They're like a business.
They're zealous.
Very
for
professional.
It.
Yeah,
yeah. They're building up their
yeah,
their
so yes,
system.
Satan's not lazy. We should not be either.
Yeah, he's got a lot of workers out there.
Amen.
Well, he's got a lot of workers. That's
he does.
Sure. Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was really interesting. And then I forget, I heard this too, about miserable to not be able to preach the gospel. And I about wanted to jump up and think, yeah, because I know my spirit is this the right way to say it? My spirit is vexed.
Right.
If we're held back
yeah.
from getting out, you know, something happened, it didn't work out right. And it's like this driving force. And I was going to read.
Or if you're in an environment where you can't preach the gospel for
yeah.
some, whatever reason that would be. Okay, we gave the example, brothers
yeah.
working in a factory. They're not there to witness. They're there to work for 8 hours. And we get it. You shouldn't be witnessing while you're working. But you'll get to a point where you go, you know what? That really holds me back. I want to get out and preach the gospel because I can't do it here. I got to go do it somewhere else. When you're silenced, it builds up in you and that flowing water wants to come out.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's what I was thinking. 1 Corinthians 9:16. This one's awesome. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel.
Yeah.
And I know you feel that way. I do. The Lord has been raising that up in me in a tremendous amount over the past few years even. And we're like, if we have a couple days where we got to do things and errands and we can't get out and do things, we got to do all the earthly things, you know, the things that you got to do. I know you and I are like hungering to get out there more.
Yep, to get out there and share. And again, it's that living water flowing out of you. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow living water. And so another thing, if you want to talk about what brothers are talking about, we talked about this, that the spirit, the wind is always moving. And wind isn't wind unless it's moving. And then the flowing waters, living waters flowing out of you, they're flowing, they're moving. So that means we should be moving, we should be active, we should be striving, not sitting still and stagnant.
Yeah. Yeah, not even in our minds. No. And it's not always just physical and stuff, but it's in your mind too, always thinking ahead and what you can do. And yeah, so anyway, I thought that was interesting. Here I got one for you. Let's see, I just have this one and then I got a scripture verse. So here, how about, can we do another one of those on the street questions for you?
Question, you're gonna ask me a question?
Yeah, like as if I was a person on the street and I heard your preaching.
All right, but we have to make a deal. If you're going to ask me a question, I'm going to ask you one after it.
Can I hear yours first before I do mine?
Nope.
Because then I can decide?
Nope. Go ahead. Give me my question, and I got one waiting for you.
Okay. All right, so I thought maybe doing these once in a while might be helpful for sisters out there. You know, I just pick a random
I don't know what she's going to ask me, Saints, so pray for me.
Oh, this is a good one. You'll love it. Matthew 6:33. So you're out on the street, and you say this.
Yeah.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My voice lifts up. I get really excited on all this.
I love that verse.
Yeah, so a seeker hears that, and they walk up to you, and they go, what do you mean? How do I seek the kingdom of God?
Interesting. Yeah, I guess I would... it's always good to find out, like, what's their spiritual background. So I always start by asking a few questions if they're truly a seeker. Like, you know, do you have no spiritual background? Are you Roman Catholic? Whatever. So that helps me frame it.
Yeah.
But just how I would lay it out is I would say, well, seeking the kingdom of God, Christ came to show us what the kingdom of God was. And Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And so he said he brought his kingdom. It's not of this world. It's not ruling yet. One day it will. He's coming back and he's going to take over the world, take it back for the Father, quench everything else. And he's going to lift up everything that is good, pure, and true of the Father's creation. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is Christ, his word, his ways by the Spirit. Not man-made religion, not politics, not the culture, not your worldly aspirations, but Christ crucified by the gospel, and then the kingdom of God will rule in your heart, and you live it out as you're born after him and walking in holiness and obedience, looking for his return or your death to go be with him.
Right.
That's the kingdom of God on earth today.
And then how can I seek that?
How can you seek it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I would preach the gospel to them and tell them that you have to be willing to lose this life and see who Christ is, and by faith, desire to follow after him, which means you're going to have repentance of all your false ways, all the false world's ways, all the church system's ways. You got to turn 180, metanoia, repent, turn. And when God sees a willing vessel that's ready to truly follow him, he knows our hearts. Mm-hmm. We can fool people. We can't fool God.
Right.
He gives us the Holy Spirit, and then the Spirit beckons and quickens us, John 16, teaches us all things, and instructs us how to follow after the Lord in his word, in his ways, to then seek the kingdom of God, preach the kingdom of God, call other people to it. It really comes down to invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to happen one day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all people. Jesus said in John 3, whosoever can come. But not everybody will answer. So it's the invite to follow after Christ. And when God gives you the Holy Spirit, you strive in holiness and obedience. And then you're enduring every day, seeking the kingdom of God. Come out of the world, come out of every false way, and seek after Christ, who is our King, and his kingdom's yet to come.
That's awesome.
Right now, it's in our hearts.
Amen.
Yeah, so this world is not God's kingdom. Jesus said, if my kingdom was of this world, I'd send my angels would come and fight for me. but my kingdom is not of this world. One day he's going to take this world back.
Right.
And we're just here to be salt and light and prepare his second coming by continuing to just preach the gospel till he comes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good job.
Yeah, I love that verse because it really does drive home. Not many people in churchianity are thinking about the kingdom of God. Ready? Everybody's thinking about, I want to go to heaven. But have you ever thought about this, saints? God's not interested in you just going to heaven. God has a purpose for you and a goal and work right now. And then if you do that work, and if you're worthy, and you truly are born of Christ because of his shed blood, and you truly are of him, then you will go to heaven and be with him. But you got stuff to do and stuff to prove right now.
Right.
So it's about entering the kingdom of God with the hope of eternal life to come. Most people have short-circuited that and just said, I want to go to heaven. And they don't really care about how they live here.
And they don't really care about anybody else they could be right. impacting for the same thing had they, you know, if they're born again and being obedient yeah. and sharing that.
Amen.
Hope. Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus said the three things we focus on, preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey everything he commanded. That's the kingdom of God right there.
Yeah.
Doing the will of the Father.
Yeah, I like that.
Makes sense?
Yeah, it does. And you said the word whosoever.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. As you said that.
John 3.
Yeah. When you look at all the clubs and the, what do you want to call them? You know, like the golf clubs.
Organizations and clubs and stuff.
They all have like this requirement. Not everybody can get it. Either you got to have a whole bunch of money to join the club.
Yep.
Or you got to be like a specific kind of person. Or you had to have had like a military background or something. This is pretty awesome. God levels the playing field. Whosoever
will come.
From the high and mighty
right.
to the low and the lowly ones,
yep.
you know, opposite of what God, or opposite of what man thinks, yep. you know, God goes all the way down to the bottom.
Yeah, he told us what he came for. He came to seek and save the lost and call sinners to repentance. If you know you're a sinner and you're willing to repent, God has a place for you in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
But it takes that.
Yeah, that's nice.
Takes losing that
what
life.
What an awesome gift for whosoever.
That is. I love that. I preach it all the time. Whosoever. It's a nail in the coffin of the Calvinists who say, God only picked certain people. Then Jesus lied because he said, whosoever can come.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I think about that. I remember when I heard the gospel and I was like, right in that beginning, I was like, even me?
Yeah.
Even me with all this big boatload of sins, train load of them. And I was like, how could even somebody like me even be, have a chance, you know?
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
We talked about this the other day. We don't accept Jesus because of Christ's perfect work and then our response to the gospel. He makes us acceptable to the Father.
Yeah, he does. I love that.
Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah.
Anything else, Sister Amin?
I have a scripture verse.
Well, you could save that for the end because I got a question for you right now. Are you ready?
I hope so.
Remember our marriage thing we were doing? We talked about marriage and we talked about things you like and don't like.
Yeah.
And I'll remind you why we're doing this when she answers this question. But I'm going to ask you for another example of what you don't like about me. Things I do, what you don't like. And then maybe give an example of maybe what you like about me. And then I'm going to tell you why. This isn't to pump my ego up. We're going to tell you why we're doing this. Because next time it'll be my turn with Sister Amin. And there's a point to this. So go ahead and share.
So I want to clarify this because I could always go after the spiritual things about you, but this is like husband-wife.
Yep, this husband-wife relationship, everyday life, living together.
Yeah.
So it can be spiritual or whatever.
Okay,
it can be either one.
Oh, well, I would say I'm just going to preface this, then I'll go to your question. I love everything spiritual about you because I can't think of anything negative in the spirit about you because you strive to be a godly, holy man. So that aside, I'll try to focus on husband-wife relationship that we have to do with each other in the flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I guess I'm...
So what's the one thing, what's another thing that you would say, I don't like that about him, and then how do you deal with it?
So what's the one thing...
If I remember last time it was I'm a terrible dishwasher. I'm not good at that.
Come on. No, it wasn't.
Because I help Sister Amin every once in a while, very rarely, and I'm just not good at it. I got to get my skills better.
You just did one. You'd wash your plate tonight. And
I'm learning.
Good. Yeah. So the one thing I don't... Well, you know what? I don't want to say don't like. I guess I would just say one thing that I try to be patient and kill my flesh over. Because I don't want to say I don't like you about it, or however I say that, but...
Well, you don't like what I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
it could be what you don't like what I do.
Well, here, I'm going to mature...
No, it's something you don't like about me, so when you say it, it's going to be, yeah, you don't like that about me because it's how I do it. So, yeah.
I don't like to say that.
But it's
true. I'd rather say it's something I've had to learn how to be patient.
It's true. I'm not a good dishwasher. It's okay to not like that about me. I got to work on that.
You're a good fly swatter.
Fly swatter, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Can I just say it?
I'm ready.
Okay, well, let me just say this. You have padlocks, you have, what do you call those?
Bungee cords,
and the thing we hold the door open,
yep.
You know, that lock, it's a strap.
So we hold everything on the van, we never
and
lose anything.
And you tie it, and you twist it,
and lock it.
There ain't nothing budging anywhere. But... You don't know how to work the Ziploc bags
in the
to
cooler.
Shut. No, in here, in your fruits.
Oh, yeah.
In the peanuts.
Oh, Ziploc. I'm Ziploc bag handicapped. I have to confess that. I am. I don't know what it is. I try and they just never close. Sister Amon's like an expert at Ziplocs, and she just, they're like in putty in her hand and they work. Every time I do them, they never close, and I go, yeah, whatever.
You just kind of pinch it.
A lot of times I cheat and I roll it over, take a metal clip and clip it.
Did you realize that if you don't roll it and roll it,
I
that
know.
The air still gets in?
I'll work harder on that.
It might fall out.
I'll work harder on that.
But you know what? That's just a
you know what?
One.
You know what? That is one thing. I don't have patience, and if I see a bag and it won't open with the Ziploc, I end up ripping the bag and then just rolling it over and covering it with, clipping it with a pin, and then sometimes it might go stale.
Can I correct you? Sometimes you just kind of flip it over on the side, so
yeah.
Then when I go to pick it up, it all falls out.
Yeah. So Sister Amon has a system where she does it with the Ziploc bags and like the ice bags and all that, and I come in and I kind of mess it up because I'm not as good at it with her, and I can see how that could be annoying, but... She never gets on me about it, and she just says, you left that Ziploc bag open there. And I said, yeah, I'm sorry. I'll do better at it. And
you know
I do try to do better.
You know what we've gotten to?
What?
I just say, hey, I'll shut that.
Yeah.
Hey, give it to me.
Yeah.
I'll close it for you. I'll put it away.
So that would be one thing that might be annoying. So what would be something that would be on the other side?
Something on the other side that's good? That's an easy one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of them I could pick from, but I'm going to pick this one because it popped in my head. I'm going to say you do an awesome job making sure our little van home keeps rolling down the road. You check all everything on it.
Oh, yeah.
You're really good about upkeep on it. You have like, you're always looking at the tires and looking under the hood and double checking everything.
Well, you know why I'm
like
so good
that.
At that. There's no Ziplocs connected to the van.
Oh.
I'm glad the engine's not in a Ziploc bag because I would
Can
probably,
you imagine?
I'd leave the engine Ziploc bag open and we would be stuck somewhere.
If you had a Ziploc, the hood shut, we would have a problem.
So I practice on the van because I don't want to be broke down or anywhere. So the reason we do this, so you got, you know, these little things and then you got good things. We do this to have a little bit of, you know, a little bit of levity to it. But it illustrates a point, and that is husband and wives have to focus on what really matters, important matters. And Sister Amon said, like, the spiritual things she appreciates. And you got to really look at things that way, is take the big battles and deal with them and be thankful for those wonderful things. And a lot of people we know that we counsel to help, they take the little things and they make them really big. And that's a really dangerous thing. Because the reason we're doing this, everybody has little things that they don't do the same way as the next person. We're not clones. And if you focus on those little things, that can become very, very troublesome. So you have to give grace in those areas and then focus on the things that are really meaningful and give grace to your partner, build them up, appreciate them, be thankful. And that's the way to have a good marriage, because then you have all of that good stuff and the little bit of trivial stuff is like meaningless. It's like, oh, he walked on my clean floor in his dirty shoes. You know what? He does so many good things for me. How can I make that a big deal? Yet, I've known women. I've known women, like, I think of a friend of mine, his mother-in-law. If you walked on her carpet after she vacuumed it and she saw footprints, she would freak out and yell at you and scream. And she would do that same to her husband. So just that's the point of doing this, is to level it. Make sure that you're making the big things important and grateful for them. The little things are really not that important.
Right. Well, you know, the little things, and I'll just share this with sisters, you know, because we're supposed to be a helper or a helpmeet to our husbands and to other people. So even if you don't have a husband and you have to live with people or work with people
yep.
who are annoying,
right.
and you got to keep dealing with it and you can't change it or anything, and you're the one who will have to deal with it, turn it into an opportunity to help that person. You learn patience. You learn long-suffering, as long as it's not sin. And you just learn to step up, kill your flesh, and help that person, you know, if they need help in it. You know, like, I help zip the Ziploc bags.
Yep, exactly.
But another way to help it is to not make a big deal about it. Because, you know, like you just mentioned to a brother or something, you know, if you only had a week left to live, would you be focusing on whatever it was you were talking about?
Small things.
Yeah, we're not going to sit here and focus on it. If this was your last day, I don't think I'd be worried about the zipper on the fruit bag that didn't get shut. I don't really care. If it fell out all over, I'd be like, okay, well, maybe I'll help him zip it next time.
And you know what it is? Seriously, we've seen this, and this is why we're doing this. A lot of those little things, you take that Ziploc bag, you take me not washing the dish right, and you go, all those little things. Guess what? People, men and women, build all those little things up, and they build like a mountain of the little things.
Yep.
And they totally ignore the good qualities of their partner, and they don't build them up, and they make a big giant mountain out of the little thing. They call it making a mountain out of a molehill.
Oh, yeah.
They make a big giant thing, and they let those things annoy them, and they're not giving grace and love and forgiveness, and they're not preferring each other. So we got to make sure that we balance those things out and don't let those things, because Satan will do that too. He'll come in and get let you get bitterness and envy. Well, the Bible talks about husbands, don't be bitter against your wives.
Yep.
And so, wives, if you're always picking at your husband for little things that don't really matter, pick, guess what? He would be in sin, but he could become bitter against you. Be careful about that.
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with children. You don't want to bring them to wrath, you know, and push them too far. So that's why we do this, to just kind of share that, ponder all that, and make sure that you have a good level approach to your relationship.
Right. And I was just thinking of the scripture verse. I didn't look it up. Careful that you think you're something lest you fall, you know, because in all relationships, a husband and wife will just stick to that, I guess.
Yep.
There's always both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Never met one perfect person and one that's doing all the troubles.
Yep.
It always goes. So one of the first things I learned is when I became a born-again saint, daughter of the Most High, I like saying that, that's awesome, is I wanted to turn it back on me. And even if Brother Tupos, because we were both in our flesh in the beginning of our marriage, for we came from the flesh, you know, we had to kill it. I tried not to sit there and dwell on the fact of, oh, he did this and this and this, and he should be a godly man and not even be doing that or whatever it was. I was like, I'm not perfect either. And how do I know I'm not doing things that are really irritating him? Or I don't even know. I might be doing things a godly woman shouldn't be doing, and I don't know. So who do I think I am?
Yeah.
I need to focus on myself to be the best I can and not be wasting my time focusing on
him. Amen. Amen. So hopefully these little things that we do give a little smile to your face, and then also also let you go back and go, yeah, I see what they're saying. All these little things can build up, and I make a big deal out of them, but they're not that big a deal in the realm of eternity, husband and wife, a person that's faithful, a person that provides, a person that cooks, a person that's always there when you come home, a person that you can count on. All this other stuff is pretty trivial and pretty meaningless. So don't sweat the small stuff and focus on the big stuff and be grateful and be thankful unto the Lord and unto your partner.
Yeah, praise God for that.
Amen. Huh? Sister Amma, do you have a scripture verse for us?
I do. Right here.
And by the way, I plan on practicing my ziplocking. I'm just telling you, I love you.
No, I'll do
it. I love
for
you that much. I'm going to practice my ziplocking.
Okay, you can do that, but I'll be happy to help you. We'll work it out one way or another.
We will.
We got more important things to worry about.
Yeah, that's true.
Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
I love that.
It's a crooked and perverse, crooked and perverse nation, and we get to shine as lights.
Right.
I love that. What an honor.
You know, I always tell brothers, the darker the culture gets, the brighter our light of Christ shines.
Right, yeah.
Don't get discouraged, because the darker it gets, the more lies, heresy, sin, evil, and wickedness there is, the more his truth, goodness, and righteousness shines and stands out as the opposite.
Yeah, I love that.
That's a great verse. I got a verse to share. I wanted to share a verse on confidence, and I hope that all you saints are walking in the confidence of the Lord. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. That's another one of those verses that tells us we got to endure. It's like a marriage. We got to endure. We got to hold firm until the end. So I hope you're walking in the confidence of the Lord. We don't work our way to heaven. Christ made the way for us. We need his perfect righteousness. But because of his work and his spirit in us, we're now striving and we want to obey him. We want to live righteous lives and we want to magnify the Lord in our lives. And that's the fruit that we know him. We don't live in sin. We don't keep sin. We don't practice sin. We flee all sin for the glory of our Savior. Walk in confidence of the gospel. Amen, Sister Armin.
Amen. Praise God.
I think that's all we have for you. Anything else, Sister Armin?
No, not this time.
We're going to leave it right there. Tomorrow, we're going to be going down the road, and we're not quite sure where yet. It's the day before where we should be going, but we had a lot of things going on and a lot of things up in the air that we had to figure out, and some of the needs in the body came first, so we're going to figure it out tomorrow, and Lord willing, we'll be headed down the road, and we'll be preaching somewhere Saturday, if it's the Lord's will.
Yeah.
I know we'll be sharing the wit of the gospel somewhere Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if we roll over in a ditch, it'll be in the hospital with somebody if we're not in comas. But we will be sharing the gospel Saturday, and we share the gospel every day. So,
right. Praise yeah. God. I love that.
What Go forth, blessing. Be salt and light. We love you all.
Hold fast, sister saints. I love you.
God be praised.